So we, in the Catholic faith, of course, we have a standard. We have a standard that has that presents itself to us, and the world, in many ways, presents that standard to you and I, and has been doing so pretty steadily, at least since the 60s, since I was around anyway. The standard is a moralism that we're presented with in the Catholic faith. It's just a bunch of rules, regulations, aimed at curbing you and your pleasures, imposed by, especially today, a bunch of clergy who can't keep the rules themselves. And so it's somewhat hypocritical. And therefore, the world would then conclude, well, cast aside the standard. Forget about it. It's just a bunch of rules that's slowing you down on the highway of life, saddling you with all these yellow flags and red flags as you go down your life. And that kind of moralism, I hope we can all agree, would be worth rejecting and throwing aside. I mean, that sort of moralism is a finger shaking, shaming approach to the Catholic life. That's all it is, just a bunch of rules that is there ready to shame you when you go wrong. But see, the standard, I mean, as people, as you get into the Catholic faith, you really do begin to understand what that standard is, though. And the standard is not a moralism that we're meant to follow. It's a person. And it's a person that's suspended upon a cross. And it's a standard that we have not generated ourselves. It's not part of our positive law. It's not part of a law we have created. It's a standard that has been set up for us by God. And this standard can never be taken down. That's the thing. See, if we could kill Jesus again, then we could take down the standard. But see, we can't. We can't take down the standard because he's beyond our grasp of death. We can't minister death to him and take him down the way we might be able to take someone else down. Martin Luther King Jr., Bobby Kennedy. We've seen these ways in which standards can be taken down in our culture. Well, Christ can't be taken down. And he is this peg that has been pushed into the ground and can never go away. In fact, the standard's going to outlast this whole world. After this world is gone, he's there, and he's the one that will ultimately judge every single one of us, not just Catholics, but every man, woman, and child that opens up the womb. Because there's only one God, and this God is Jesus Christ. He came to us in the flesh. Now, once you come to that, then the question becomes, who is this hanging upon the cross? And if you're like me, I know one of the great obstacles I had to even wanting to acknowledge the cross is as I came up to him, I bring all this baggage of how other people have treated me, how, you know, starting with just family of origin. Is it your father? Is it your mother? Is it your grandparents? Whoever it might be. Is it someone else? Was it a teacher? Who was it? Was it your friend who betrayed you? Whatever it might be. We bring all these experiences as we come before this standard that can't be taken down, and we project all that stuff of the way others have dealt with us on Jesus. And a lot of times, what can happen with us, at least, in our lives, is when people discover our weakness, they can begin to use that and leverage that against us. That can happen. I mean, I think we've all had that experience. It does kind of leave us a little defensive because people can do that, and they will do that sometimes. So we try to keep our best face forward so that people don't discover what our weakness is. And we come before this standard of the cross of Christ, and we're projecting all of that onto him. Because He treats us the same way everybody else does. And see, that's where our faith has to kick in, because it's so important for us in our walk of Catholic faith to allow us to hear Jesus speak for himself. We need to hear him speak for himself so that we get to know him on his own terms instead of the projections we put onto him that make us maybe go, I want nothing to do with it. I got to get out of here. It's just, all it's doing is what? What is it doing? What is it doing? Is it shaming you? Is Jesus up there on the cross? Look what you did to me. Oh my God, you did all this. You're all a bunch of bad people and you're awful. No, that's what we do to each other sometimes. And I think one of the first steps to realizing who Jesus is comes in the first reading. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so high are my ways above your ways. He will never treat us the way we treat one another. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so high are my ways above your ways. And so here we have this standard that, yes, I mean, I'll line up first. I'll be first in line of anyone that wants to join me in saying that I am not the moral high ground of the Catholic Church. I'm not. He is. Jesus is the moral high ground of the Catholic faith. He's the moral high ground. And I'm also going to be the first one to tell you, in beholding this standard, some days it takes my breath away and I run out of, I'm just gasping for air because he's tough to keep up with. It's a high standard. It's a very high standard. And if all that standard is going to do is shame you and put you down and humiliate you because you're not able to keep up, oh my God, I'd say that Catholicism, run from it. I would not want to have anything to do with that faith. Who would want that? I mean, and see, this is where we have to allow ourselves in our faith to let Jesus speak for himself. Because as he is upon the cross, he's demonstrating his love for you. Let's start there. He's demonstrating his love. He's not talking about it. He's not saying, I love you with words because words are so cheap. No, he's proving his love. That's the first thing. And we need to hear that from the cross. The standard is not a shaming standard, although you can feel shameful sometimes if what you're doing is shameful, but the shame isn't coming from him, it's coming from what we're doing. It's our deeds that sow shame in our lives. And the fact that the light would shine on that and say, hey, you want to be done with that? Come to me. You want to be done with that? Come to me. Now, what the world will say is, oh my God, if you have shame in your life, just get rid of the standard. And we can't get rid of the standard. I come back to the beginning of the homily. We can't get rid of the standard. All we can do is ignore it. That's all we can do, is ignore the standard. And it's to our own peril that we do that. Because then we're all full of shame, and we're justifying what we're doing, which is sowing more shame, and then we get shaming people shame people. And so we have shameful people shaming other people, and we're just all just, it's like, we're going around shaming each other. And I mean, just go on social media. I mean, that's all they're doing. They're just shaming each other. Oh, you are awful. You're terrible. You're worse. Oh my God. It's like ad hominem attacks, attacks, attacks. How do you get out of all that? The standard. We need to hear from him. Do you want to be done with that? Hey, I can come to me. You could be done with that. I've come to take your shame away from you so you come out of hiding and have nothing to be afraid of. Because you are mine. And you are loved. And you are forgiven. Pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. Now, when you come to that, that's the milk and honey of the promised land. That's the beginning of the rest of our life into eternity. When you start to come to someone instead of a set of rules, when you come into a relationship of faith with someone that you need to hear from regularly in terms of your value, worth, boy, I don't know how you could walk away from that. How could you walk away from that? Unless there's something really wrong with you, if you really come to someone who loves you that much and you're going to say no, I mean, I guess that would say there's something wrong with us when we do that. But I'm not so sure we could, I don't know that there is anyone who could really abandon the Catholic faith once they come to what's really at its heart, which is Jesus. Jesus is at its heart. And he knew we would forget this, by the way. And so what he did is left us a memorial of this love to remind us, because we forget. So what does he do? He comes in the memorial of our redemption to remind us, I'm demonstrating my love for you. I'm coming to you. I'm coming into your life. Do you want to be done with this? Here I come. Just say, amen. Come into my life, Lord Jesus. I have nothing to lose except my shame, guilt, wounds. That's all you have to lose when you come to Jesus. And, you know, this is where we would come into the Lord's presence, singing for joy instead of crimping up in shame, because we have nothing to be ashamed of once we have experienced the mercy and tender love of the Savior. So this is what we're called on by the church to meditate upon. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so high are my ways above your ways. I don't care if it's your mother, father, dad, uncle, grandma, grandpa, good friend, best friend, former boyfriend, former girlfriend, whoever it was. I don't care who it was. His ways are higher than any of those ways, and he will never treat you like that. So allow your faith today to enter into the joy of the Lord and allow him to have his own voice in your life instead of letting all these other voices cramp in there. Let him speak for himself. Faith comes through hearing, and I pray today that you will hear the voice of the Lord speaking to you, a word of tender love, mercy, forgiveness, and healing.